Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske. Higher education, how to pay for it, who can get it, it's been one of society's tough issues for generations. Presidential candidates spar about whose budget plans do more for students and families, and candidates' words, like Mitt Romney's suggestion a few months ago that students who were having trouble affording college should just shop around, have all played into a growing sense around the world and right here at home that going to college is simply becoming out of reach. And even for those who can afford it, with high unemployment rates and long waits for that first job after graduation, some are wondering if it's really worth the effort and the expense. This week on Up to Date, we're featuring participants from last night's TEDxKC conference. The live event was sold out, but you, our listeners, aren't missing out. And one of those speakers has an idea. It's an idea that's caught a lot of people's imagination and may just change the face of education as we know it. Joining us by phone this morning is Shai Reshef. He was one of the speakers at last night's sold-out TEDxKC event. We should mention that that event will be replayed on the big screen at the Alamo Drafthouse at 14th and Main tonight at 6 p.m. Shai Reshef is president of the University of the People, which is an online tuition-free university, the first of its kind. Shai, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. So is University of the People the future of higher education?
I think that University of the People is going to be one of the alternatives that are going to be there. I don't think that we're coming instead of the existing universities. However, there are millions and millions of people around the world who cannot afford higher education right now, either because of the tremendous price of higher education, we all know it, or because there are people who cannot, in some places in the world, do not have room to study. There aren't enough universities. There are places where culturally people are deprived from higher education. And for all these people, we open the gates and offer them tuition-free universities. So I think that for those people who are deprived from higher education, yes, we are the future.
So tell our listeners, assume they don't know anything about the University of the People. What is it exactly?
Well, as you said, we are online. We are nonprofit, online, tuition-free university, and any students who hold high school diploma and has sufficient English can be accepted and study tuition-free. The studies are online. Every time student takes a class, he/she is together with about 25 students from about 25 different countries. That's how they study. They study together online with their peers under supervision of instructors. We have started 3 years ago. By now, we have accepted 1,500 students from 132 countries. For these 1,500 students, we have over 2,900 volunteering professors. So actually,
that's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, we have about almost two professors for every student, and they're coming from the best universities. Our president's council consists of the vice chancellor of Oxford, the president of NYU, a director of the Academy of Paris. Our provost is from Columbia University. Our deans are from NYU. So we have great volunteering professors to help us.
And they are doing this all voluntarily?
Yeah. Well, we are able to be tuition-free because we take everything that is available free and uses it. So we use open-source technology to teach our students. We use open educational content, meaning content that professors wrote and put on the net for everyone to use for free. And we base our operation on volunteers. We have, as I said, 2,900 volunteering professors who jumped on board to help them. All of them are volunteers. And they are the people who lead the university academically. These are the people who write our courses, who teach our courses. Yeah. So yeah. We are using the goodwill of the internet, of the people and the internet to reach people who are deprived from higher education. Yes.
You know, as you mentioned, there's all these resources already out there on the internet. Is what you're doing just bringing them together? Is it a reference point that redirects people to already existing resources? Or do you feel like you're doing something that's really new and different with this?
Well, it's an interesting question because, yes, everything that we do is available. we are not doing anything that was not there already, but we bring it all together to create a full university. So while the resources were there, we wrapped them to become a university. So it's a regular university. You need to be admitted. You need to take courses like any other university. You need to pass exams. So it's different in the way of delivery. The content itself and all the other elements were there before.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question that could be asked of any of those online programs or distance learning type programs. Is it really a substitute for the relationship between a teacher and a student, for the classroom experience, those back and forth discussions, the looking each other in the eye, talking about big ideas? Is it really the same?
It's not the same. And I would say, and I think that it's a very valid question, and I think that for most of our students, they come to us because they have no other alternative. Mm-hmm. So if you compare the price, well, you know, so they come to us because they cannot afford any other option. However, it's very engaging. And when you study with us, it's a peer-to-peer learning. You interact with your peer students over the week. Every time a student takes a class, as I said, they meet 25 students. With them, they read the material of the week. And they start discussing the discussion question of the week between themselves under the supervision of an instructor. So there is an instructor there, but it's not face-to-face interaction. Now, for many, especially young people, you know, it's a very common way to interact with their peers. You know, think about Facebook. We take the element of social networking and bringing it into the classroom. So from this perspective, it's very similar to the social networking behavior, but it is not face-to-face interaction. It's internet interaction.
This is a question that I think would have gone without saying a while back, but now I think people are really asking this question. That's why is it so important for people to have access to higher education anyway? In this day and age, obviously some people with college degrees have difficulty getting jobs. That's in North America. In other parts of the world, maybe college education isn't valued as highly. Why does it matter anyway?
I think that there are two main reasons for that. First of all, I think that higher education should be a right for every human being. And I think that every person not only should have the right, should go all the way with higher education, because it's improve us as people. Educated people are much better people. And therefore, I think it should be our desire that the entire world will get through higher education. Saying that, we also know that people with higher education find it easier to find a job and get better salaries. While it is true that we're going through a rough time right now, still people with higher education are more likely to find a job with better salaries.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Shai Reshef. He's the president of the University of the People, an online, nonprofit, tuition-free university. If you have a question for him, you can call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Do you think people need education beyond high school? What are your creative ideas for improving access to education? 235-2888, or send us an email at that's up-to-date at kcur.org. So, Shai, you're obviously getting quite a lot of recognition. In 2009, you were on the 100 Most Creative People in Business from Fast Company list. This year, Wired magazine said you were one of 50 people changing the world. Do you really think you have the potential with this to change education, to change the world?
Yes. I do believe that what we're doing, obviously, we're helping our students, and they are the most important element of what we do, are the people that we serve. However, we're building a model. And we're building a model for universities to look at what we do and say, hey, we can do it as well. Because it hardly costs any money, what we do. Yes, we need the money to cover our expenses, but any university can do that. And if they don't want to do it, it's okay. But if they want, they can do it. And some universities should look at what we do and ask themselves, look at the mirror and ask themselves, well, why don't we add a zero to the number of students that we have? It doesn't cost money. We can serve, instead of 10,000 students, 100,000 students. And it's very relevant when we talk about the barriers of higher education in the U.S. But if I may just take it one step further, we can also look at developing countries. Right now, the governments there spend a few millions that they have on building their own great institution. They're building their own Harvard, Yale, Stanford, I don't know what. A few years later, the money is gone, and the institution is not Harvard, because you can't build Harvard with a few millions, nor in a few years. But they can look at what we do, and they can educate every single person in their country free. So why not? What's the reason not to do it?
Yeah. And that's my question. Why not? Why wouldn't they be doing it?
Well, first of all, I think that they need to see that we are sustainable to believe that it's workable. So first of all, people look at what we do and say, wow, can't it be real? Well, so we need to show them that it's real. So that's the first step that we should pass. But the second one, I think that there are a lot of countries and a lot of universities that have other things on their agenda. Take countries, you know, nationalism, they want their own university, they want to control their system. So, you know, they want to make sure that they want to show that they have the best university in the world rather than educate everyone. So the agenda might be different. I think that our success will put big pressure both on universities and on governments to adapt what we're doing, if not for the entire population, at least for some of it, those who are deprived of higher education right now.
I wonder, Shai, if there isn't also some pushback on sort of a philosophical basis. You're using words like open source education, which sort of suggests that truth or information or reality is not handed down from mentors, teachers, great wise ones, down to their students, but rather that there's something out there in the ether, literally the ethernet, I suppose, that is where people can find what's really important. Is there a philosophical change that goes along with thinking about education as something that's available to everyone rather than something you pay for from the wise few?
Yes, I do. I do believe that if I should find one reason what the internet gave to the world, what we get out of the internet is the spread of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And right now all the knowledge is out there and everyone can and should take it. I believe that everything should be free and should be available for everyone on the net. We are part of the open source movement. And we believe that, yes, there is no reason that only few will hold this knowledge.
Does that make you more an entrepreneur, more a business person, or more of a philosopher, really, of education?
Wow, I don't know. I think I'm an entrepreneur, but I don't, you know, it's my belief. I do believe, you know, and talking back to the great event last night, and I said it there, and I totally believe it, that if you educate one, you can change life. But if you educate many, you can change the world. And that's what we should all do. And we can do it these days. Why not? And that's the way to change the world. Educate the entire world. We'll have less wars, we'll have more people who strive for peace, who strive for their future, would have less reasons to fight. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about that, about the connection between knowledge and peace, and also about Shai Reshef's talk at last night's TEDxKC event. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back to Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske. Today, Shai Reshef is with us. He's the founder and president of University of the People, an online nonprofit tuition-free university. You can actually find it online at www.uopeople.org. We also have a link from our website at kcur.org. If you have questions about the future or the necessity of higher education, or if accessibility of college was an issue for you or your family, give us a call at 816-235-2888. Shai Reshef, you've been preaching this message for a while about the need for education to be accessible. I wonder, do you get any pushback? Do people actually object to this idea?
Hardly anyone. Once or twice in the last, we created the university 3 years ago, and maybe only once or twice I heard someone saying, well, education should not be for everyone. Most people argue that and believe that education should be available for everyone. People might be skeptical about whether it can be sustainable because, you know, paying tens of thousands of dollars for tuition per year per student and then all of a sudden tuition free sounds like a dream come true, so people are skeptical. But overall, people are very supportive. I mean, the very reason that we have almost 3,000 volunteers says it all. So
yeah. You have on your biography page on the university website an interesting statement. You mentioned world peace earlier. You said that the university is grounded in the belief that knowledge is a key ingredient of world peace, which obviously is something that everyone also supports. Help us make the connection. What's the connection between knowledge and peace?
I mentioned earlier that when students take a class, they meet 25 students like themselves from 25 different countries. Every time a student takes a class, he/she is being put together with 25 students from 25 different countries. If they study toward the BA, it's about 40 courses, so it happened 40 times. Think about students from U.S. and Cuba, students from Israel and Palestine, students from Turkey and Greece, or from India and Pakistan. They study with each other. All of a sudden, they realize that the people who consider to be their enemies outside of the class are their best friends. They're very similar to them. We believe that by exposing people to whom supposed to be their enemies, they start to respect them, know them, and become their friends. And nothing like that makes our world closer and make peace a bit closer in the world. So we believe that by opening people's mind and exposing them to other potential enemies, those who supposedly or potentially be their enemies, we're doing a big service toward the world peace.
Let's take a call from a listener about the university. Ellen in Prairie Village is with us. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Shai Reshef?
My question is, what does he see the role of an apprenticeship in his claim that everyone needs higher education? I mean, I'm in medical school, so obviously I've been through undergrad, I have 2 years of classroom training, and then I have, you know, an apprenticeship for 2 years plus 3 to 10.
Right. So,
I wonder,
Ellen,
what you think of everything else,
so
for everyone else.
Ellen, are you suggesting that it is possible to replicate some of the class experience, but may not be possible to replicate the hands-on in the world kind of experience that sometimes goes
absolutely
with education? Good question. Shai Reshef, what do you say to that?
Well, we teach business administration and computer science. That's the only 2 degrees that we offer. We chose these 2 programs because our students coming to us in order to improve their chance for a better future. But these 2 programs are also the likeliest to help them find a job for that very reason. However, these 2 programs can also be taught online. Not every program can be taught online right now, and you're right. So I would say even more than that, that because of the kind of population that we have, We don't use audio and we don't use video. So we base our studies on text. So those courses that need audio and video or lab, even if there is a virtual lab, we don't use. So what I'm saying is that we're teaching what can be taught online. And we are very successful in that. Our students, 95% of them, every 2.5 months, say that they are very satisfied. They would recommend us as a good place for studying. Our learning outcomes are very good. But again, we are obviously limit what we offer students.
Ellen, thanks for the call. I wonder, Shairesh, if how much it costs to educate a student, to get them to the point of earning a degree. You know, universities often say it costs far more than they charge in tuition. You're not charging any tuition. What's the cost?
I'm very happy that you ask this because I don't want to mislead anyone. We are tuition free. However, we expect our students to help us cover the costs of our exams. So when student, it cost us $100 per exam to cover our costs, and we expect our students to pay that if they have it. If they don't have it, obviously, we help them to get scholarship to cover this expense, but still there are costs involved with the university. We need $5 million in the next 3 years to become sustainable. So basically, our running rate is $1 million a year. That's what it costs us right now to run the university. It will grow as we grow. But in 2015, with $5 million, which we hope to get through donations, we will be sustainable.
And the university's not yet accredited, is that right?
Right, very right.
But you're working on it?
Yeah. The university is registered in California, and we are licensed, and we grant degrees, and we are licensed, and we are allowed to grant degrees in California. These degrees are not accredited as it is for now. We're working on our accreditation. We work very hard on our accreditation because we do believe that it's very important for our students. But as you said, we are not as it is for now.
So I guess I'd like to talk for a moment about your talk that you are giving or gave last night, I guess, at the TEDxKC mm-hmm. event. And again, I'll mention to our listeners that there was so much interest in the event that the whole conference, the whole program is being replayed tonight. You can get tickets for $6 and go at 6 o'clock to the Alamo Drafthouse Theater at 14th and Main, and they'll replay the whole thing on the big screen. You subtitled your talk, Finding Einstein. What's that a reference to?
Well, basically, the question is, how would the world find the next Einstein? And I started by asking, where is the next Einstein? And I'm assuming that most of us would think of the developed world, maybe in the U.S., maybe in other, I don't know, Germany, Japan. But at the same time, I'm asking, could the next Einstein be in a developing country? Maybe in Haiti, maybe in Bangladesh, or maybe in South Sudan. And what I was talking about is that the only way to find out is by giving everyone the chance to be the next Einstein. And the only way to do it is through education. So if you educate everyone, and you give everyone the opportunity to show what he/she has, we will discover the next Einstein by itself. They will surface by themselves.
You said there's students from 132 countries already enrolled. Are all the classes taught in English?
Yeah, that's one of the conditions to be accepted is to have a good enough English. We teach only in English. So obviously we have a great demand, but it is a limitation to many. But right now we teach only in English. And
Yeah.
We might change it. We might add other languages in there.
Well, perhaps one thing at a time. What is the next goal? What's the next hurdle that the university needs to accomplish to fulfill your vision for it?
The main thing is to become sustainable. We want to show ourselves and the world that it's a sustainable operation. This is one thing. And then to build the institution in a way that we will be able to accommodate the demand. Because I was talking about the millions, but to give only one fact, UNESCO stated that in 2025, 98 million students would be deprived from higher education because there are not going to be enough seats in the existing universities. So what are we going to do with these people? And we're showing a way how to accommodate this great population, this great demand. And when you give people the opportunity, they grasp it. So I think that so our next step is, after we are sustainable, is to start growing and start serving as many people as needed.
Well, Shai Reshef, we wish you all the best. Shai Reshef is founder and president of the University of the People, a nonprofit, tuition-free online university, part of the TEDxKC speaker series this week on UpToDate. Shai, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.